Record. Here we go.
Okay, I'd like to call to order the Otter Rock Water Board work session of May 21st, 2020. And roll call, we have Dan, Pat, Lisa, hello, Beth, and Buzz. And Jim is here, and Patty and Stan Hart are attending. With that, I guess we go to our agenda, which is Buzz, a report.
Okay, hang on. Taking minutes.
We're recording.
Okay, cool.
Do we want a summary?
Yeah.
I guess I should volunteer. I haven't done it for a while.
Just a summary.
And Buzz and Jim, you can send me your written comments, please.
I'm confused. You want? I sent all what I have is pretty much the same thing that I sent out to you a few days ago.
Okay. Got it.
If you want to comment on it, or I can go through that, or I just have one more. Comment, but it all involves feedback from the board.
Okay.
About the questions I asked related to the steel tank, relating to fire flow, pressure, and the taste of the water. The way it looks now, we're gonna go ahead and go with the steel tank in the budget estimate. I got some more costs. Some I have them summarized here, and it's compatible with what we've discussed for repairing the concrete tank. So I guess I'd like some kind of direction to be able to tell the engineer when I meet with him tomorrow that we want to go with a steel tank as part of the estimate or not.
I'll speak first.
Go ahead.
I think it's going to be a better investment in the long term than trying to patch up the concrete tank that we have now, and it also it solves some of the other problems in the infrastructure at the same time, water pressure and fire flow, and I mean, I guess that's all I really have to say. I think it's a good move, and money that we put into that is not going to then just buy us a little time, and we're still going to have the same problem, you know, down the road. So that's basically my contribution.
So regarding the fire flow, I put some options out there. With the old tank and reduced scope design that we're working off of now, we got about a 200 gallon per minute increase. That's just putting in a new distribution system. And with the Yeah, we go from an estimated 430 gallons existing with a new system. If we put a bigger line in, a trunk line in from the tank down to the distribution system, we get about a 280 gallon average increase. This is just calculated flows. And with the tank and the new tank, we get 900 gallons. And then if we add more eight inch line, we can get up to what the is recommended by Depot Bay Fire Department. We don't have to do what Depot Bay Fire Department recommends. There's guidelines for there's guidelines for water districts, but nothing that says we have to do it. So basically, the more money we spend, the more fire flow we provide. And I gave you those numbers to think about. And then there, the last thing is pressure. I said that we'd get about a eight pound per square inch cushion over there. We're now very close to minimum in some areas of the district. Up by where the new subdivision is, I think we're like at barely 20, 21, yeah, something like that. We're required to provide 20 pounds. And the new tank will get us, when it's full, about 8 pounds. And when it's half full, about 4 pounds. So there's that. But the other side of the coin is the tank's going to be tougher to maintain. It's taller. We can't flush it ourselves. We can't wash down the walls ourselves. We have to have it done. We're maybe risking haste because we'll have to pump extra water through it to keep the water fresh. And we'll have to pump through it. Now we're gravity flow. We don't have any electric bill at all.
Excuse me, everybody. Dan, I just had an email from the party involved in the executive session.
Yes.
The request is that we call at 6 p.m., which it's already after 6 p.m., that we call that direction. And but the message is addressed to you at my email.
Hmm.
So I don't know how we want to handle that. Do you want to shut off my sound and I'll see if I can arrange it for 7 p.m. as
okay.
We tried to do?
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
Want me to keep talking?
Yes.
Well, that's... that's the direction we're going. And I'd like to hear from the board if yes, indeed, let's do that steel tank, or no, we have reservations about it.
Do you have any idea? You said it's going to be about the same pump as the one now for spring three. Do we know when we're running spring three, do we know what our electric bill is?
About 50, I think it's somewhere around $50 a month, somewhere in that.
Okay. So we would be talking about $600 a year or
Dan, there's components. Whether we burn any electricity or not, it's $30 a month. Okay?
Okay.
And then I looked at numbers mostly in the summertime when the flow is more.
Mm-hmm.
I looked at numbers that the maximum, I think around 20 to 30. Okay, so that's maybe in the summertime, $55 a month.
Uh-huh.
But we have to pump extra water to keep it fresh, to keep it mixed and everything.
Yeah.
So maybe in the summer, I have no idea in the world what that is. I don't think it'd be any more than the daily demand. But let's just say for talking purposes in the summer, about $65 a month.
Okay.
Less than that in the winter.
Okay. So it's not an awful exorbitant amount of electricity expense, it doesn't sound like to me.
No, and on 150, assuming $150 a month, if it's 150 users, you know, that's just pennies a month added to the that part of
expenses of
we're paying per user.
Okay. While we're talking about tanks, I had a question having to do with, sorry, I have to hop back to a different window here. Hang on. On the proposed projects for the next fiscal year, there were two big tank items, north side line and footing drain. Would we, if we decided to go with replacing the big tank, would we still need to do those this coming fiscal year?
I don't know what they would be needed. Yeah, we'd use that north side line to feed the new tank.
Uh-huh.
And that footing drain protects the sub base.
Okay.
And we'd be using that same sub base to set the new tank on. So they'd be needed.
Okay.
Maybe low priority though, later in the year.
I thought they might be useful for a replacement tank, but I thought I'd ask.
Yeah, I think that the footing drain is needed probably on the high priority. The other line, whether it, you know, it'll be used on the new tank. I don't know how soon we would need it, but the footing drain has to be done. And so the reason in that particular project was trying to combine two projects so we don't get charged for two
excavation
fees from the excavation contractor.
Yeah.
So the whole reason was to get them there with enough work, because the footing drain is a simple job. It's just in the woods and it's going to be hard to do with an excavator. So we tried to strum up a full day's worth of work in project.
Yeah. Yeah, makes sense.
That was the point behind that. So.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you can see this, but these are the costs that we got. Well, you can't see it. I'll send this out after the meeting. Okay. These are tank prices, preliminary tank prices.
Okay.
And I assume we're funding the tank and everything out of the loan, and not, we're just getting estimates so that we can, you know, get our ducks in a row, right? Because we can't afford the tank on our fees right now.
Right.
That's part of the total. There's one question I had. Dan, you talked about additions to the distribution system with the 2-inch line.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's another item that I wondered about is service lines. We have, Pat says we have 142 users right now.
Uh-huh.
And are we, And I think the master plan said there, he could probably help me with this in a number of lots, but I think the master plan said there was something like 168 potential users we could have for the system.
I can't remember. I could go look it up.
I remember the number 168, whether or not it's accurate, but let's for the moment say, sure. Yeah, it's the number.
It sounds like it's definitely in the ballpark.
Yeah. So my question is, it will cost us more to put a saddle, dig a hole and put a saddle on a line at every position, every vacant lot in the system. And probably it's the practical thing to do. For the water, the line is pressurized, and mm-hmm. we have to do it afterwards. It would take special equipment, and you'd have to shut down parts of the system to do it. But my question is, if there are indeed 142 people using the system now, and potentially 168, would the board like to see all 168 lots with a saddle and ready for connection, even though some of them may never get filled? Is that?
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. My recommendation would be no. I understand the both sides of the coin. I understand the side of having to shut everything off to tie on a new connection. However, on the flip side of that, that's a lot of money to add some connections. And if people purchase a vacant lot, they should be willing to pay for that. And so if we do decide to put a saddle there, I think that we need to do some sort of way to charge that particular lot for it so that when it's purchased or sold or whatever, that particular owner pays for it, because you're talking about a lot of money that goes to vacant lots. And right now, we have a lot of vacant lots that don't have saddles, and the customers that buy those have to pay for it as it is. So
Jim answered the question very nicely. Do you guys agree?
Yeah, I think
we do have
a lot more vacant lots than getting up to 168.
If somebody wants to tie on, they got to pay for it. Unfortunately, I know that doesn't.
There's a couple of places on 3rd Street, the couple over here just they've got the place roped off, and I see them, and they're intending to build. And then farther up 3rd Street, another buyer is purchasing that lot across the street from me. Mm-hmm. Those are gray areas, and probably by the time we get around to constructing a system, they will have already been there. But if there's somebody like that who's eminently wants to have a saddle, then I guess maybe we would go ahead and do it, but with some kind of charge.
I think that what we need to do on the vacant lots is contact the homeowners and say, we have a crew coming out to do this. The discounted rate at this time is X amount. If you want it done, you can pay for it. If you don't want it done, we're going to roll right past your lot. Leave it up to the landowner.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Don't we?
I think Pat wants to talk, but I don't think she can.
No, I can talk, but go ahead and finish your thought there.
Well, those are two questions. That was my last question. I guess if we're agreed about the tank, it seems to be, if we decide for the budget to use the tank and then for some other reason don't, the money will be there, I think, adequate money. And then if we, Jim answered my question pretty well about the saddles. So I'll pass that on to the engineer tomorrow.
Okay. May I break in here?
Yes, ma'am.
I have a word from the party regarding the executive session, and it will take place.
Okay.
In a slightly different format. Meanwhile, I have forwarded some information to each of the board members.
I guess I'm done.
Let's see. Buzz. The executive session cannot include Jim. I'm sorry. So Jim will, when we go into executive session, Jim will have to sign off.
Does he have to come back afterwards?
No.
He does not.
No.
I know how they work. I'll leave.
Thank you.
He can, but come back. Okay, any other questions of Buzz?
No. Thank you, Buzz.
Welcome.
Yeah, thanks. So Lisa, you had some information you sent around about funding for projects.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. So does anyone have questions?
Yeah. Did you tell us everything you know?
Basically.
Lisa, I never got that email. For some reason.
I know.
What's that?
I know.
Oh, you didn't include me in it?
No. Because it's about funding, and I didn't know if you wanted to be involved.
Oh, I don't know. It doesn't matter to me, but if that's up to you guys. I mean.
No reason you can't be listening in.
No, and if I didn't. Jim, if you want it, I can send you the email.
I think it. Yeah, probably. Just because I know, I don't know. That's up to you guys.
I showed my copy to him, and he was interested.
I was breezing over it, and I just wanted to see the numbers and the, you know.
Is there any reason why we can't get a copy of that, too?
I don't see why not. Is there?
Yeah, it's just about funding, right?
Yes, it's just about funding. It's just a proposal that we got. We got two different scenarios.
I guess, let's go back and look.
But I don't know if we want to, make that public without discussions first.
Well, yeah, I think.
I mean, there's nothing secret about it, but.
No, but I guess.
I also don't want to have fear in the community.
Well, if.
Yeah.
If I recall, there was some assumed project cost on that.
Yeah, like the $3.5 million?
Yeah, and so we're not, I don't think we should be getting the community prepared for a $3.5 million ticket if that's not what we're doing. So I think maybe we should actually distribute such a document after we have a more realistic number that we're working with. And then I think the community should know about it.
But not
some hypothetical pie in the sky, oh my God, number.
Where did that come from, the $3.5 million?
From that, the master plan.
From the feasibility study, and that was replacing everything the way they recommended replacing it.
Okay.
And
I should remember that, yeah.
Yeah, and so I don't think I want to kick that number back out if that's not really the number.
I agree.
I was going with worst case scenarios.
Yeah.
I mean, if we have to do this and everything goes wrong and we need, you know, all this stuff, then then the $3.5 million is the most we're going to have to pay. And so, therefore, I wanted the worst case and not the best case.
No, I agree. But I think if we're actually if we get seriously talking about funding, I think we ought to use the best number we've got. Unless you think somehow we can put enough disclaimers on it that people are not going to fly off the handle. I mean, I want us to be transparent, but I don't want us to scare the heck out of people unnecessarily either.
Yeah, I agree. That's why I didn't give it to everyone, you know?
Yeah. Okay.
If you came up with a figure that was feasible, that you thought was acceptable to the district, and yet you couldn't do everything because of that thing, are there ways you could cut back on the projects so that you could go within that figure that you wanted to use? See what I mean?
Well, Buzz, we do sort of have a set of priorities about the most essential. For the scope, I mean, there's the most essential, which would be tank and distribution system, you know, the large main distribution system, right? That's the most critical. And then there are other parts that we just have to decide once we see how much more those would add, whether we want to include that or not. Am I understanding that correctly?
And the spring, we need to do something with the spring.
Yeah.
The only other parts that were mentioned in the master plan are a booster pump station and some piddling little amounts that they were going to spend on the springs.
Mm-hmm.
That was not nearly enough.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't they recommend replacing the small tank as well?
Yeah.
Well, no, they were going to demolish it and just use the 300,000-gallon tank.
Oh, because I thought I saw in there were two options for the small tank, one of which was refurbish it.
Yeah, I think that
demolish it.
There was a pretty good chunk of money towards rebuilding the little tank,
mm-hmm.
and rebuilding both springs. And I don't think at this point that either of those need to happen.
Yeah, they spent a lot of time talking about alternates on tanks, and then they decided on one big bolted steel tank, a 300,000-gallon one.
Mm-hmm.
And then they talked about a booster station.
Yeah.
And talked about the distribution system.
Do you have any idea why they talked about a booster station?
Beg your pardon?
Do you have any idea why they talked about a booster station? It's because it sure sounds like with the taller tank and gravity flow, we'd be in good shape.
Well, the booster station would nominally, if you were in Kansas, you know those tall towers they have?
Yeah.
You see them?
Yeah.
They're 140 feet tall usually, and they boost the pressure up to 60 pounds per square inch. So in Kansas, where it's flat, everybody starts out with 60 pounds of pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Around here, you put in a booster pump station, and they'd probably try to boost the pressure where we were talking about 5 to 8 or 4 to 8 PSI just to stay above the minimum.
Yeah.
They would probably, with a booster pump station, maybe boost it up to 20 or 25 plus 20 or a boost of 20 or 25 PSI with a booster pump station up there. If you tried to do that with a tank, it would stick up above the trees up there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And you know, I'm not interrupting you.
No, go ahead.
Buzz and I had a long conversation about the pros and cons of the booster station.
Okay.
And I think, I hope I'm not speaking for him, but I believe that we agreed the simpler is better. And there's a lot of keys to that. One of them is we know for a fact that our water's corrosive. And Buzz and I have tested the water. I've tested it with the county. We know that that's why we're having some problems and issues with our valves. So therefore, if we had a booster station, there would be more maintenance, more moving parts, more swapping out valves, and a lot of maintenance would go into just maintaining it, not to mention the electricity. And it seemed that it just didn't seem like a good idea. But that was our, am I speaking out of line, Buzz?
No, that's exactly my experience. And I'm glad you mentioned that, because the other thing that I actually mentioned it in that email I sent. So with this little bit of a cushion that we have, should keep us away from the minimum, but there are still people in the district who complain, who have 40, a lot more than I do, and they still complain about not having enough water pressure. So the board, the board should, if we get a new distribution system where the pipe can stand extra pressure, the board should think about allowing people to install their own private little booster systems, which aren't prohibitively expensive. And if they want to boost their pressure, they can do it themselves.
Mm-hmm. They just have to get an annual cross flow test, which is available locally. We do have a commercial account within the district that gets an annual test. And then part of my licensing, I annually send in a report on that test. I think the guy charges $40 or something to come out and test your system. So if somebody wanted to go down that road, there's a lot more things that would have to do to get there, but that is definitely an option if that's something that the board would decide in the future.
So the bottom line for the customer would be another $40 or so a year to have higher than the pressure that we offer.
If they so decide, there would be some parameters and some, there's a little bit of tape that have to go through to do that. You know, a lot of people, just because somebody has more pressure doesn't necessarily mean that they use more water either. And that's a misconception. And I hope everybody understands that if you have more pressure, you just get your dishes washed faster, your laundry's done faster, and it just doesn't take as long, but you're still going to use the same amount of water. And I have learned that in the classes. So, you know, I'm not as opposed to them as a lot of people, but we would just have to make sure it was safe.
For that low contamination issue.
Lisa, can I, I see your document. I did not see it earlier today. I'm sorry, but.
That's okay.
First of all, I'm having a heart attack. Second of all, it sounds as if we cannot ever finance this, such a project by a tax levy.
Not with Business Oregon, and USDA doesn't want anything to do with us.
So that means that instead of every property in Otter Rock helping to pay for our water system through their tax rate, that only the actual current users have to support it. Is that correct?
Yes.
Wow.
So
because they don't want, because they want to know that we can pay for it before they give us the money. Okay. And if we don't have a roadmap.
What about after, not even after the project is completed, they won't let us then turn around and tax levy?
Nope.
No. Okay.
Dan.
Yes.
What if we pass a levy approving a bond to fund an amount? I mean, I understand why they wouldn't approve an application based on a promise that we should get a levy through. But what if you pass a levy?
But just off the top, that's going to cost us a lot more money than just user fees.
And how much more? Do we have
We have to pay a lawyer.
Yes.
And we have to, you know, and we have to pay a middleman because Yes. So, and that guy, as I remember, he wanted like 9% of the total loan amount just to be the middleman.
Okay.
It's my recollection. So that's a lot of money that we're paying to this guy just to be.
So if we get a USDA loan or another sort of government loan, then it has to be paid for by a rate increase. We have no other option.
Unless we don't go with these two vendors. Well, USDA they don't want anything to do with us. They told us that. Okay. So the rural development does not want to do with us because we don't have any grants, and their paperwork is so horrendous that she said it's not worth our time to go through the process. So rural development does not want anything to do with us. Business Oregon says that they will not, they want the money. They want us to have a plan so that they know they have a guarantee that we will pay the loan back. Because we don't have a lot of assets, honestly.
Seems like a tax levy would more readily guarantee payment than.
Yeah, but then you have to renew it, you know, and renew it and renew it. Because it's like 5 or 6 years. Every 5 or 6 years, just like the fire department, you know, they don't get a levy for 30 years to fund their stuff. It's always like 5 or 6 years. And then they have to renew it, you know? And so it's not a guaranteed funding stream.
Okay. So you can't do a levy for the duration of the loan?
No.
Oh, well, that makes more sense. Ooh. That makes more sense.
Yeah, that's why you always see the voting, you know, for the hospital always have to do it, and, you know, and all of the ones, the school districts every 5 or 6 years. It depends on who buys the bond, and they can do anywhere between it's usually between 5 and 7, 10 years, and then that's it. And then you have to reapply so they can keep it going.
I have municipal bonds that have a longer
shelf life
than that, but yes. Yeah, interesting.
Can I ask a question, Lisa?
Sure.
What was that Oregon lottery money that was that the same of what as what was in your memo, or is that a different? Yeah,
that Oregon lottery money is scenario number one.
Okay.
On a little spreadsheet.
Okay.
The other one is through Business Oregon, and that's through the government, and that's the one that has the more restrictions for the American Steel.
Oregon Lottery does not?
Oregon Lottery does not have American Steel, but they still have the same bully rates and the same environmental stuff that we have to go through.
That would affect the tank, because I have two tank vendors, and one of them is using foreign steel, not because it's cheaper, but because it's fabricated with titanium in it that they need for their process. So yeah, that might be good news. Just saying.
Lots of food for thought.
Well, if we go through USDA, does anybody have a standard that we have to meet as far as AWWA or I'm sure
the USDA is the most strict.
Because they are
more strict than Business Oregon or the lottery. They are like,
could we potentially run into snags with having sections of pipe that don't meet the standard that we're tying on to, or if we try to do a cheaper scope or a different scope? Because I guess what I'm getting at is all of the service lines that we have throughout the district are not to the standard. So if we do a smaller scope of work to try to save the service lines, which is going to be a big chunk of money, I don't know if they would be okay with us reusing those because they don't make parts that adapt to them. And that's what I'm running into by putting these meters in right now.
Well, USDA doesn't want to deal with us. So they're the most restrict. Business Oregon will give us the money and they have less restrictions, except for the fact that one of them wants American Steel. They both have the bully. They both have the environmental. They both have the prevailing wages. It's just one has American Steel and one does not. And one has a higher interest rate and one does not. And one has a $100,000 grant and one does not.
So which one requires the American Steel, the one with the grant or the one without?
Yep, the one with the grant.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Number two.
That's number two, yes.
And we could try to find funding someplace else, but these interest rates, I've never seen an interest rate that low. I mean, honestly. And I think it's this low because of the COVID stuff. It wasn't this low a couple months ago when Buzz was looking at it. He was looking at like interest rates like 3 to 3.5.
Well, and to be honest with you, I think that your projected price through the engineer is going to change significantly as well because of the virus. I think that your pipe contractors, when the economy crashed last time, were struggling for work. And I think that right now, if the subdivisions aren't going, then pipe contractors are going to be looking for jobs like ours, and there will be a little bit of a battle over them. So I think that you are going to be saving money in that aspect as well by the time it rolls around for us to go out to bid.
Yeah, and just because we asked for $3.5 million, we don't have to take that money. You know, as soon as the job is done, that's what they're going to do the loan on. But I wanted to do the worst case scenario so that we knew sure. In our brains what it was.
Yeah, no. I agree. I think, though, it would be interesting to run the number based on a reasonable estimate that we hopefully will come up with working with the engineer.
Speaking of engineers, why are they suggesting we go with a different engineer again?
Because of the fact that they want basically a project manager. And they want the engineer and the construction and all of that stuff under one roof so that everyone is talking on the same page and that all the invoices that we get make sure that they tie in with the loans. Mm-hmm. And the loan is going to have stuff that we don't know until we apply for it, but we can't apply for it until we get the number. So it's kind of like a catch-22. But they want it because they're going to have specific instructions and specific details that they say it's easier if you just do it a big engineer firm versus like Cascade.
So it's not mandatory. They're just recommending.
Yeah.
They're just recommending. They said we can do whatever we want, but they recommend.
Well, yeah, I think whoever we use will want to have, you know, project management, which includes handling whatever environmental impact, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, is involved. I mean, we want somebody who can handle all of the regulatory requirements.
Right.
For a project of this scope.
Yeah, we don't want to be responsible for getting all the pieces together.
No. So.
And they say Civil West and this other firm that I mentioned, they deal with these loans all the time, and they know exactly what they have to do and exactly when they have to do it. And you know, it's just easier if we don't have to reinvent the wheel, basically.
If we go with Civil West, we would have that, but we'd still have to hire an engineer who knew how to design a water system.
Okay, well then let's get the other guys. Give them I don't know.
What's the recommendation?
They said, I have it in my notes, they said it was Dire Partnership.
Just out of curiosity. Thank you.
They're in Coos Bay, supposedly.
Tom, I just realized you've been muted this whole time. Was that on purpose or was that an error on my part?
No, it's me.
Okay, all right.
It's just me and I'm...
it's control, along, okay.
Listening, yeah.
Okay, I'll put you back on mute then, and then you can unmute yourself.
Okay.
Well, actually, what I think you can still unmute yourself if I mute you.
Yes, I can, definitely. Okay.
All right, then I will do put you back.
I think I'd like to interrupt about the executive session for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, Buzz, I think there was supposed to be a sewer board meeting in the building this evening. Have they gone?
No, Paul just got here.
They've just gotten here. Okay.
Yeah, they start meeting.
Buzz, can you get home and get onto this meeting from home?
I can.
I think that would be a wise choice at this moment.
Why?
Before we go to executive session.
So that we can be entirely confidential.
Oh, sure. All right, Brian.
Are we done with the infrastructure meeting?
We may not be done. I just needed to make sure Buzz could access from at home.
I can do that. We had one last question for Lisa, though. Is it to Lisa?
Yeah.
Did I interpret from your memo that we need to, there's a remote possibility that we need to finish all the meters before we can go for this loan?
No, but it has to be in our bit. It has to be, we have to use some of the loan money to fund all the meters.
Oh, okay.
All right, good.
At this point, do we think that would be on top of the 3.5?
No.
He included meters.
There's enough in that to make room for meters. The rest of the meters
were in that path. Meters were, I didn't
include it in.
Were 150 or 60 meters.
6,000 meters or something like that?
No, not that much, but a lot. I think they were like 1,500 a piece in the $3.5 million.
Okay, Mike Mullen just joined us. I think we should warn Mike that this $3.5 million is a huge worst case scenario number and not the number that we're necessarily going to be working with once we actually get better estimates. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. He just joined, so.
We continue the executive session.
Excuse us?
Can we continue this infrastructure meeting after your executive session?
We should not. And since we don't have to start the executive session right at 7 p.m.
No, we can start it whenever we want. So let's get this part of the meeting, continue with it, and then we'll just be doing the executive session tacked on the end.
Okay. I think tomorrow.
I have a question.
Okay.
When are we going to, what is our timeline to get an estimate on how much we're going to be asking for?
You're asking me, Lisa?
I'm asking everyone. Because I want to be able to say, I need to respond to Melissa.
I think we'll find out something tomorrow. I want to get from him of his hours that he's going to spend, but not necessarily a lead time. I can ask him that too.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, that's all I was trying to say. The same thing as tomorrow, we'll have a better idea. Once we get numbers from Jonathan, we have a bunch of questions we need to ask him about doing the shortened end of the scope and the full thing. And there's a lot. We have a list. So
great.
Hopefully after tomorrow, we'll have a better idea.
Lisa, what do you think the application period would require as far as time?
It depends on which one we go for. The Business Oregon one is more, they have specific timelines in order to get the loan stuff in. And if you don't meet them, then you have to wait till the next cycle. The Oregon Lottery, you can do it whenever.
Okay. Another good reason to have a manager for this whole process.
Lisa,
so we don't miss any timelines.
Without looking at your memo, what was the difference? Did you mention the difference in interest rates between the two loans?
Yeah, hold on, I can pull it up. One was, and just for your information, guys, this is the loan and maintenance. So when Buzz was talking about his the $120, you know, fee, I don't think he was including the maintenance of anything. I think he was just including the loan rate. So I just want to put that out there.
Well, when Buck, you mean was?
Yeah, Buck. Sorry, Buck.
I do the same.
I just want to put that out there.
What falls into the category of maintenance?
They have a formula that they do to figure out how much we should be spending on maintenance. If you noticed, for our maintenance, we should be charging everyone $52.74 instead of the $50 that we're doing.
I see that there.
Yeah. Okay. The interest rate is at 1.97 for mm-hmm. the Business Oregon, and the lottery funds are 2.47.
That's quite a difference.
Yeah.
But on a monthly rate, it's what? Less than $8 a month difference? Not I'm making fun of $8. $8 is money. But
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, about $8.
Well, and it depends on where we save on steel and where we...
Yeah, right.
Yeah, after we talk to Jonathan, I think things are going to be...
Yeah, and hopefully the total project cost will come in significantly less than the worst case number that we had them project from. But I agree, Lisa, using the worst case scenario number until we have a better number was the way to go.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's basically, between the two interest rates, it's basically $400,000 more between the interest rates over the life of the loan.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's a lot of steel.
Yeah.
Steel. Yep.
But I'm very grateful that she did this and that, you know, we actually have numbers to see, you know.
Mm-hmm.
This is like having the engineer nail some things down for us. Very helpful.
Yes, very.
Any other comments or questions?
We have another infrastructure meeting after the meeting with Jonathan so that we can know where to go from here.
Yes.
Yeah, I think we should, definitely.
When would you like to do that?
We have a... Oh, no, we don't.
We have a budget committee meeting.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, we could tack it on there.
Yeah,
let me talk to him before we schedule it. And then
I'll
give a heads up when we're back.
Yeah. But yeah, if we could do it in the next couple of weeks, I think that'd be
good. Cool.
Yeah, I think that would be great.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would like forward progress.
Mm-hmm.
If you could send me it, just so I could skim over it, I'd appreciate it. I know that there are rough numbers, but that way I have a general idea in my head.
I sure will, Jim.
I won't hold you to it like a firm car deal. How's that?
Yeah, I can do it right now. I can multitask. Here I go.
Hello, I heard
was you. That? Did you just sneak in a reference to the Princess Bride in there, Lisa? All right by me.
Thank you, Lisa, for all that good work.
Yes.
Thank you.
And Jim and Buzz, and for tomorrow too.
They're not done yet, though.
No. Hopefully, we can trim some fat and get some.
Okay. So. Are we
done with infrastructure?
What?
Do we go to executive session now?
We do. We'll have a brief intermission while Buzz walks back to his house, but
let's have that brief intermission.
Okay. So do you want to go ahead and
should I read the script?
Not yet. Dan?
Yes.
Is there a way that the I can see the recording on the website, right? Later? Because I got in a phone conversation and I've been having to find some documents and.
You know, I will be willing to write the summary because it will be a summary and it will say that we discussed. Infrastructure options, and we discussed two scenarios for financing using a loan, and I'll probably run it by Lisa to make sure that I describe those two options correctly, and that's going to be the summary.
I missed a lot of the discussion in the middle there. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'll have the recording up tomorrow.
Great. Thank you.
Buzz?
I'm going to have to sign off. I'll sign back in, I guess, when I get back to my house.
Yes. Yes.
All right.
Okay.
Good night. Goodbye.
So, Mullins, Consuelo.
Thank you.
Thank you for attending. We will go into executive session next after we read the statute that covers the executive session. And we will only come back into public meeting if there are actions to be taken based on the executive session. If you want, I can put you in the waiting room after Beth reads the language for the executive session. And then you can just pretend like it's a really long commercial. But if we come back into public session, then I'll put you back into the meeting and.
Okay.
So if you want to do it that way, we can do it that way. And then if we just disappear, well, I guess I can. What I'll do is after executive session, I can come back and say. We can come back out and say the meeting's adjourned.
So okay, whatever works best.
Okay, Mullins, does that work for you?
Oh, that's Janice over there. Hi, Janice.
Okay.
Hi.
All right. So I guess, do we have anything else to discuss before we...
Do we want to read why we're going into executive session?
We will have to do that. Yes.
Yeah. Have to read the script. Should I do that now?
Yes.
Okay. And I am reading this. This is fairly long. The Board of the Otter Rock Water District will now meet in executive session pursuant to ORS 192.660 section 2F, which allows the commission to meet in executive session to consider information or records that are exempt from disclosure by law. Representatives of the news media shall be allowed to attend the executive session. All other members of the audience will be put into the online waiting area. Representatives of the news media are specifically directed not to report on or otherwise disclose any of the deliberations or anything said about these subjects during the executive session, except to state the general subject of the session as previously announced. No decision may be made in executive session. At the end of the executive session, we will return to open session and welcome the audience back into the meeting.
Okay. I'm now going to pause the recording.
Okay.
Oh, sorry.
Okay. So we're out of executive session.
I move that we follow the advice provided in executive session.
I second that.
Okay, any discussion on that? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? No. Or Buzz, did you?
I voted.
Did you aye? Okay. Yeah. Okay, motion passes. And any other items to discuss?
No.
Well, then I think we should adjourn. I'll adjourn this meeting.
Thank you all who provided infrastructure information tonight.
That was very helpful. Thank you.
Yep, 8:28.
Good night, everybody.
Good night. Good night.